from Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
What is the nature of the prayer of Ne'ilah, the final prayer of Yom Kippur? And if we can understand the nature of it, perhaps we can answer a number of different questions that can be raised about Ne'ilah. There are two basic theories about Ne'ilah that are proposed in the Gemara at the end of the tractate of Yoma, which deals with Yom Kippur. The first idea is that it's a tluta yetera, that it's an additional prayer. Usually you have Shacharis Minchamar. On a holiday, you also have Musaf. So you have three prayers, four prayers. But whoever heard of having five prayers, including Ne'ilah? So it gives you an extra opportunity to have an encounter with God on Yom Kippur. Second theory is that it's a vidui or kapar. It's an extra opportunity to confess your sins before the end of Yom Kippur, or for kapara, to celebrate the atonement, which according to Rabbi Soloveitchik's father of Moshe, takes place specifically with the setting of the sun on Yom Kippur day. Within this possibility that it's an extra prayer, the question is it an extra prayer within the day, that it's part of the five prayers of the day? Ma'ariv, Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv, Mincha, Musaf, and the Ilah. Or no, it's a Tosefet, it's additional, and therefore it takes place after all the prayers are done, basically after the day is over. And that leads to our first nafkamina, the first impacted issue, the first difference that this question makes, the first outcome of this analysis, and that is when. When should Ne'ilah be said? In Israel, there are many shuls that try to finish Ne'ilah before sundown. Imagine that. You finish before sundown, and you have 42 minutes, 72 minutes, 50 minutes, however many minutes you wait from then until the fast is over. We generally daven Ne'ilah right before or right around the Shkia. If you think that it's an extra prayer, if it's an extra prayer of the day, it must be said during the day. If it's an extra prayer beyond the day, it should be said after the day is over. If it's about atonement, maybe it should be said when the day comes to its atonement, which is at the sunset at that very time. Another question Rabbi Soloveitchik raised was, let's say you didn't daven mincha. A lot of people take a nap during mincha, and they come back, and lo and behold, they're up to Ne'ilah. So he said, oh, sure, I'll join in Ne'ilah. Rabbi Soloveitchik said to me, if it's a kapara, if it's atonement, you could say that. Dealing with atonement at the end of the Day of Atonement, it makes sense. But if you say that it's Tzlusas Yisera, it's an additional prayer, it has to be additional. You have to say the required Shacharis, Mincha, Ma'ariv, Musaf. And if you did all that, and then you added Ne'ilah, then it's an additional prayer. But if you haven't said some of the prayers, or all the prayers, then it's not additional. A third impacted issue is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is coming up on the calendar right now, and on Tisha B'Av, we figure, well, the Talmud says that on a serious fast day, on a real Tani Tzibur public fast day, you should have Ne'ilah, an additional prayer. After all, fast day is a time to call out to God and get close with God. So the question is, we have Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, the quintessential fast day. What about on Tisha B'Av, which is also one of the most major fast day we have other than Yom Kippur itself? So if we say that it's for atonement, maybe Yom Kippur, maybe Tisha B'Av is a day of atonement, the temple is destroyed, you get atonement, we fast, we get atonement, maybe. But if you say it's an additional prayer, are you kidding me? On Tisha B'Av, which represents how the Jews were cut off from God because the temple was destroyed, on that day we're going to say extra prayers? You think you have an extra entree to God on Tisha B'Av? On Tisha B'Av we say Satam Tvilati. The theme of the day is that our prayers are cut off. There's there's a metal sheet between us and God. And it's a problem. So therefore, that's why we don't have Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av, because it's not a day of prayer at all. There are other impacted issues as well. For instance, Tashlumin. Let's say, Yom Kippur, you wake up, you miss Mincha. Right, you miss Mincha, you daven two Ma'aris. You also miss Ne'ilah. Should you say three prayers? One for the missed ne'ilah. If you say that it's a kapara, time for kapara, time for atonement is over. It's not the day of atonement anymore. It's too late. If you say that it's part of the prayers of the day, it's not the day anymore. But if you say it's just an extra prayer, it's a bakashas rachamim, it's extra opportunity to speak with God. You didn't take the opportunity. You were sleeping. So take the opportunity now. Yom Kippur is over. It's not too late. You can still take that opportunity. What about women? Are women obligated? If it's part of the day, if it's the part of the atonement of the day, women are involved in all aspects of Yom Kippur. So atonement, if it's for atonement, they should say the prayer for atonement. If it's part of the prayers of the day, during the day, well, are women really obligated in all the prayers of the day? According to the Rambam, that women are obligated in the basic prayer, but maybe not in all three prayers. So they're not really obligated to say Shacharit, Mincha, and Maariv, perhaps not Musaf either. So maybe they shouldn't have to pray this either. If you say that, according to the Nachmanides, that it's all rabbinic anyway, so they're obligated in prayers, they're obligated in Shacharit, Mincha, and Maariv. This day, the prayers include two extra prayers, so maybe they have to. It's an interesting question. What about that night? Talmud suggests an interesting thing. The day's over. Yom Kippur's over. Everyone's hungry. They want to go home. He said, look, you ready, Davin, Ne'ilah, let's say, very late. It was after the sunset. So I said a Shmoneh Esrei after the sunset. You want me to Davin Maariv also? I already Davin the prayer. So if you say that it's an additional prayer of Yom Kippur, what's Yom Kippur got to do with the after Yom Kippur? However, if you say it's an additional prayer after Yom Kippur is over to show that we're still praying even after Yom Kippur is over, then maybe after Yom Kippur is over, it's time for Maariv. After sundown, it's time for Maariv. So you pray during Maariv, that time, you're exempt. So these are many of the issues. I'm sure there are other issues which are impacted by this question of what is the nature of Ne'ilah? This is an example, really, of Talmudic analysis. You take a law, you ask what is its basic nature, what are its roots, and then based on that, you can answer various practical halachic questions, showing us that the value of halachic analysis has a practical element as well. But there was a Hasidic master who, my cousin Rabbi Hill Danziger shared with me, there was a Hasidic master who shared the following at the end. You think Ne'ilah has to do with the closing of the gates. Jerusalem Talmud debates, is it the gates of heaven, the gates of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem? And that would also impact what time, because the gates of heaven close late, the gates of the temple close in the afternoon. But there's a Hasidic interpretation that Ne'ilah is not from the closing of the gates, but rather the closing, not closing at all, maybe the tying. It has to do with the word na'alayim, shoes. There's a verse in Song of Songs, Mayafu pal mayapa na'alim. How beautiful are your shoes, O Israel. Why are the Jewish shoes so beautiful? Well, they walk with their feet to Jerusalem for the holidays. But there's another idea. That after Yom Kippur is over, you know what the real Ne'ilah is? It's not the prayer. It's the putting on the shoes. When you put your shoes on after Ne'ilah, the question is, have you been impacted by this day? Or are you the same person before Yom Kippur, before the 10 days of repentance? And if you indeed are someone else, then you can truly say that Mayafu Pamayach Manelim, how beautiful your shoes are, how beautiful it is, the transformation you've made through this day. So we hope indeed that each Yom Kippur will have beautiful shoes. When we put our shoes back on, we'll have a beautiful transformation from who we were before to who we were after Yom Kippur. Thank you for joining us here at the Atchis Farah Beth Lamed Congregation for our discussion of the various holidays and various laws. Thank you for Jason Lefkowitz, our producer, as well. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.